This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. It's time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here with Money, Riches, and Wealth, here with Bon 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 Vissuto.
Well, thanks, Drew. It's a beautiful, wet, rainy evening out there.
And it's good to be with you, Bon Bon.
It's good.
Anyway, we're here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Tonight, we're going to be talking a very specific topic. We're talking medical insurance.
Yeah.
But we're talking a lot of little unique parts of medical insurance. Mm-hmm. Medicare Part D.
Mm-hmm.
Medigap insurance. So it's the insurance that you get to supplement your Medicare. And we're talking medical insurance also, getting onto the exchange is either an individual or a company.
Yep.
So that's the topic we're going to be talking about. Do you have anything to tell everyone about our guest that's here tonight?
Well, you know, we're fortunate we have two gentlemen, but we're going to focus on one of them tonight. We got Ron Drager from Barnes Drager Insurance, and he's an expert in the medical field and insurance field in terms of Medicare, Medigap, and just all the things
that
are coming out.
He does that mainly with Silberstein Insurance Group, right? And that
correct.
Silberstein, their name? Silberstein Group or Associates?
Silberstein Insurance Group or SIG.
SIG, yes.
SIG.
And that's actually who we carry our medical insurance with. So,
yeah, they do our broker for us. And it's been interesting over the last couple of years with the under 50 employers like us, under 50 employees, and then, this whole thing the president's been doing the last couple of weeks. And Ron's been sharing some interesting insights about that and the impact on the industry.
So, what we're going to do tonight is we're not going to take calls per se. What we're going to do is we'll let people call in and ask Anita a question like, can you ask him to ask the guest about medical insurance in this regard or Medicare Part D or whatever the case may be. But otherwise, we'll see what questions they call in because we do want to focus on this because this is a very important topic. And So, Ron, let's start with the individual medical coverage because that starts in the next week or so. And so if you don't have medical insurance, you're going to get penalized, right?
Correct, on your tax return.
Yeah, and this year, what is it, about $400 or $500 approximately?
Or 2%, the greater of the two of your income.
Right, so it can be fairly substantial if you're making good income and not doing it. And so you can go to the exchange and get a policy. It's guaranteed, no pre-existing conditions. You're going to get it even if you're incredibly unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
So what does somebody have to do to get that insurance right now?
So basically there's two ways of getting individual insurance. That enrollment system is going to open up on November 1st. So the effective date would be January 1, for example.
You get to go to their wonderful website.
So there's two ways. This sometimes is a little confusing. There's two ways of getting the insurance. It's either directly through the carrier.
Right.
So, for example, I have a link or we have a link that you can enroll for. Let's use CareFirst, for example. They're probably the most popular choice for individual insurance. They can enroll directly through that carrier. The second choice is they can enroll through the healthcare exchange. That's through the state's website.
So even if you go direct, you're still going through the exchange. So
pricing is exactly
the
same.
The same. Mm-hmm.
So it's either on exchange or off exchange. So the only advantage of going through the healthcare exchange is if you qualify for a subsidy. So if your income grants some type of monthly subsidy for your health insurance, you'd want to take advantage of going through the state exchange to get that subsidy. You can't get that subsidy through the carrier directly.
Yeah. Now, I actually have a great website for that. It's the Kaiser Permanente Healthcare Calculator. Mm-hmm. And so you can put your quick information in, and with like a minute, you can tell whether you're going to get a subsidy or not based on your income.
Correct.
Your tax return income is basically what they're using, right?
Your family household income comes into play. And most of the carriers all have that.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's Kaiser, CareFirst, Evergreen's another player out there, they're all going to have some type of generic formula to figure out whether or not you qualify. So if you find you do qualify, then certainly go through the exchange. The big thing is the enrollment process is a little bit more lengthy going through the healthcare exchange because you have to put in some tax information and they connect the government agencies.
Now, if I calculate it right, if you're married with no children, it's about $60,000 you're going to get some kind of subsidy. If you're single, it's about $30,000.
Maybe a little less than that, but
okay, in the general ballpark.
Right.
But if you have one, two, or more children, you know, the number can go up a little. But I think if you make over, what, is it 80 or 90,000, even if you have a whole bunch of children, you're not going to get any.
That's correct.
Yeah,
that's
so correct. It's we're talking about people who are making 80 if they're a family, 60 if they're a married couple with no children, or 30 or less if they're single.
Correct. That's probably a fair ballpark.
Those are ballparks.
Right,
that's
right.
All it is. Okay.
So, you know, hypothetically, if I'm making, you know, $20,000 a year, I'm an individual, I'm going to get some type of subsidy.
Mm-hmm. Now, it doesn't matter if you're worth $50 million. If your tax return says you and your wife are only making $52,000, you're going to get a subsidy, aren't you?
You can, yes.
We do that.
Right.
We actually do that kind of planning occasionally. I had a client in just this evening. I was talking about doing that with them. So, you know, it's the subsidy is an interesting concept.
It's
a tax thing, right?
It's all tax-driven, yes.
So if you tell them your income, they're going to give you the subsidy in advance, but if at the end of the year your income's a lot higher than you guessed it to be, you're going to owe that money back, aren't you?
That's correct. So it's either, you know, they're going to get it back at some point.
But what if you went to Care First, you didn't go through the exchange, but your income was low enough to get a subsidy, you could actually get it back at the end of the year, can't you? Or does it have to go through?
It has to go through the exchange for the subsidy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So you have to go through that. That's the one thing you do have to do.
And what's that website for the exchange?
Just Maryland. Just type in MarylandExchange.com. I'll give you the exact site.
Yeah.
Well, you can do that. We're going to go to a pause in a second.
Yep.
I'm going to ignore that, Anita.
She's playing games with you.
Anyway, I forgot what I was even going to say there.
I guess we're going to a pause now.
Good work, Anita. Let's see what's happening with traffic right now.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We can't expect much more than that, Tom.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that is.
Anyway, come on, get with the times. What is the time here, Anita? Anyway, we're here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. Ron Draeger is our guest, and we're talking medical insurance. And we started off talking about that it's open enrollment starting next week for individual plans. And what's the typical bump that people are going to experience this year?
Well, I'd say 20% is a fair number to use across the board. You know,
now, that, though, is more or less in the individual market.
Correct.
The business owners' group plans are actually going to see a lot less increase this year, right?
So some of the plans are actually filing decreases, especially in the under 50 market, January 1. So,
well, explain what you mean by under 50 market, because I understood what you just said.
Mm-hmm. So let's say I'm an employer like yourself. You have between 2 and 50 employees, you're governed by the Affordable Care Act. So there's been some changes in that marketplace that took place in January of 14 as groups renewed. So we, you know, years ago we had an individual rate, a parent and child rate, a family rate, husband and wife rate, and a company had those rates across the board. Affordable Care Act says, well, now we're going to have a rate based on each individual person's age. So, if, for example, a larger family is going to spend more than a smaller family, an older person is going to have a higher rate than a younger rate, in general, across the board. There's some ways to manipulate that.
Yeah, Tom and I found that out because we have younger employees. So, our average age was like 40, and Tom and I are he's in his late 40s.
North of that, right.
And I'm in the high 50s, and my premium went up 70% the first year.
Yeah, and I have 5 kids, so that pushed me up
You got hammered.
We got hammered.
But the young people had a good time.
They had a great time. And so what happened was that the carriers didn't know what they were getting into. They didn't know what the experience was going to be. So they pushed the rates a lot higher, not knowing. Turned out it wasn't as bad as they thought, so they're kind of moderating the future increases. Is that kind of what happened?
In general terms, yes. So what's happening in January, there's some of the plants are going down. When I say they're going decreases, we're not talking 10 and 20%, probably 3, 4, 5%. Across the board.
So it's going to go up, or you think it's actually going to...
Some plants are going to go down.
Actually, a decrease.
Now, keeping in mind, we all have gotten a year older as well. So as we renew, we jump that age bracket. So, for example, if I'm 40, I'm going to 41 and so on. So I'm going to jump up that age bracket, too. So you might be looking at a few percent decreases overall compared to the December renewal.
And that's 2 to 50 employees.
2 to 50.
Yeah.
So there also was a delay January 1. January of 16, that 2 to 50 marketplace was going to expand to 2 to 99. So that 50 to 99 market has been delayed or postponed from the president that signed that a few weeks ago. So that marketplace is not going to be hitting with that same rating methodology that we talked about.
So what's their experience likely to be?
That's probably, you're probably looking at anywhere between 5 and 12% increases, maybe 15%.
But the individuals on the exchange, the guy that just went to the exchange the last couple of years, he's all excited, he now have medical insurance, they're going to probably see 10 to 30% is what you're saying.
I'd say 20 is probably a fair number across the board.
20 is a fair number. So that's going to get interesting, isn't it?
It's going to be tough for a lot of folks. And those letters are starting to hit people now where they're getting notified of those rate increases. So I can tell you I've heard a lot of chatter, had a lot of phone calls recently.
When they get that increase, now if they want a different policy, they got to go through the whole process again, right?
That's correct.
And they probably hated it a year or two ago when they didn't, you know.
Well, everybody loves to deal with health insurance, right? So if that person, if they do nothing, they're going to default and just go automatically into the plan that they either had or the plan it's being changed to. Because some plans did go away, and they're replacing them with new plans. So I would advise a person to reevaluate it on a yearly basis, not just enroll one year and say, okay, I'm going to roll with this going forward.
So now they also, when they did the Affordable Care Act, they said that you were going to have this shop for business owners. Mm-hmm. So there was going to be like a pool that business owners could send their employees to and say, pick one of these companies from this shop, and you know, you'll have a lot of flexibility as to what you do. But they never actually have gotten started. Is it this year? Will it be the first?
It's available. It's very, very, I would say, it's very underutilized, poorly managed. The lead time on it is extremely long.
I've not had any success in using it with any client.
I would say it's not being utilized, and there's some disadvantages there. So, for example, if I wanted a plan across the board, you'd kind of have to have the same metal level. So there's this bronze, silver, gold, platinum. So in general, I would say, okay, I would want silver that's the middle-of-the-road plan, but you would kind of get that across the board, whether it's CareFirst, Kaiser, Evergreen, maybe some other carriers. So it's probably, most of the time I'm seeing it's just easier, at least where we are today, for a company to say, I want this carrier, and I'm going to have multiple plans with that carrier.
Now, let's make this point really clear for all of our business owner listeners right now, okay, because actually, WCBM has an immense amount of business owner listeners.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And here's the point. You cannot give your employee money and tell them go buy their own insurance and call it a tax-deductible thing.
That's correct.
Illegal under the ACA.
Correct. So,
and they can be fined substantially if it was found out they were doing that.
Right. So
if they were giving them money and saying, here's extra money, it's specifically for this, and charging it as W-2 income, it's still illegal.
So, you know, if a company is giving an employee money to go out and buy health insurance, it's really not a health insurance bonus. It's money that they're giving them. It's taxable income. What that person decides to do with that money, that's their decision, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can't control that as a company to do that. But the answer to your question is you cannot just give folks money and say go out and buy your own insurance.
But the interesting thing is, Ron, is that the law back in 1960s actually says you can do that, and it's tax-free. But the ACA specifically came in and said, and if you do that, we are going to disqualify your plan under the ACA.
Correct.
So the law is actually very contradictory, and there are a lot of business owners that are still doing this, thinking that it's a neat option for them.
And I've run into that where folks are giving employees money for health insurance reasons, and again, that would have to be taxable income. It would have to be like any other income that they would earn. I certainly would say check with your accountant, and I'm sure they'll get you straight on that.
Well, and we weren't going to do that, but we did look at having employees go out on the exchange mm-hmm. to get their own to see if it would be cheaper. And when you factor in the tax deductibility or lack thereof right. of using the exchange, it still was kind of better to be with the company plan.
Right, because if you're buying an individual plan, you're paying with after-tax dollars. So the advantage of running it through your company is you could do a pre-tax. Owners might have some advantages, depending on the type of corporation, with the not paying taxes on the income. So the bottom line is what you can't do is have a company plan that's funded and then have certain employees have affordable coverage and then go out and get the subsidy through the exchange.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do both. It's one or the
other.
So
now I've been seeing that the Affordable Care Act is obviously dependent upon a lot of healthy younger people come into mm-hmm. the plan. And but they're not getting the numbers they're expecting. So there's been a lot of doomsday scenario for this plan. Have you been hearing about that?
Well, if you even look at back in 2014 when the carriers filed their rates with the state of Maryland, they asked for much larger rates or larger premiums. They returned that. It was turned down. And basically, this is what we have. That's why we're seeing 20%, 25% increases.
Mm-hmm.
So the bottom line is, you know, when they opened the doors in 14, we lost a lot of carriers because some carriers decided to leave the marketplace. And then you're left with a few insurance companies out there. And exactly what you're happening is you're seeing larger premiums. Some folks are still choosing not to have health insurance and pay the tax penalty.
Well, hold on for me before Anita tells me to look up and pay attention to her, that we need to take another pause. When we come back, we're going to talk about Medicare, Medigap, Medicare D, and all that kind mm-hmm. of good stuff. So we got through the individual and group. Right now we're going on a pause. We're going to be right back talking about medical insurance with Ron Drager. This is Drew Tignanelli. Take it away, traffic.
Back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
It's hard to argue with that.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're here with Money, Riches, and Wealth, and we're here with Ron Drager, and we're talking about medical insurance. Now, before we move on from the individual, you were saying that your website actually has that subsidy calculator on it also. So how can they get that? If somebody wants to see if they're going to get a subsidy.
So the easiest way to thing to do is if you go onto barnesdrager.com, B-A-R-N-E-S, then D-R-A-G-E-R, drager.com, and there's a CareFirst logo there. You can click on that, and it'll take you into the site, and you can apply through there too, but you can at least go through there and get the general idea of the subsidy. And it'll give you in whole number of terms what you think you would qualify for. And if it makes sense to go from there, then you would go through the Maryland Health Exchange.
Okay.
Right.
So now we're into Medicare, Medigap. So somebody turns 65,
mm-hmm.
they get Medicare Part A sort of for free, but they paid for it all their working years. That's
right.
What that little premium, I mean that little tax coming out of your paycheck is,
mm-hmm.
right? And
right.
now you got to sign up for Medicare Part B, and that's normally, what, about $105 a month that most people are going to pay, but that's supposedly going to go up.
Based
we
on
don't
income.
Know.
Right. That's up in the air now with on the federal level.
Or even for new participants, though, the premium is supposed to be higher.
Correct.
And if you're making a lot of money, over $170,000, at least at this point in time, it can really skyrocket.
Correct.
But Congress is talking about raising that. We haven't heard any word yet as to whether they will or won't.
That right now it's up in the air, so we'll have to wait and see what the Congress says.
Now, you know, this is sort of an aside, but it's in line with what we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
In the budget deal just today, passed by the House, not yet by the Senate, they slid in a thing that is going to eliminate, file, and suspend for Social Security, which is a strategy that a lot of people who've been using to get maximum benefit out of
right.
Social Security, they're eliminating it in that House bill. They slid it into that budget bill.
Hmm.
And whether it survives up to the president, he's already said he wants to sign it.
Sure. He'd be fair. Yeah.
Can't, you know, every time I start talking about President Obama, my blood pressure goes up. So anyway, we ought to stop that. We'll go back to talking about medical insurance.
So we're talking about, you know, the folks that are making under $85,000 single, 170 is married. There's supposed to be a hold harmless provision that their Social Security check is not supposed to go down.
Yeah, for people who are making over, or I mean under those amounts,
right.
170 married and 85,000 single,
right.
That since they're not getting a Social Security increase, they won't get a Medicare Part B premium increase either.
Yeah.
And so that's a guaranteed deal for them. But, you know, once you get your Medicare A and B, now you need Medigap unless your employer provides the plan for you.
Right. So if you're still working, you might even make a decision not to enroll in Part B.
Right.
Because your employer's plan, depending on the size, there's some rules there that you don't want to check with your HR folks.
So let's run with that a second. So let's say you're 67, 68, you're still on your employer's plan.
Correct.
You don't even need Medicare Part B right now. You're not paying the premium. And now all of a sudden you're 69, you want to retire. What do you got to do? There's problems here.
Well, as long as you have coverage in place through your employer, then what you need to do, I would advise you at 90 days prior to your retirement date, contact Medicare so you can get enrolled in Part B. So your A and B effective dates may be different. So you're going to get A the first of the month of the month that you're turning 65 automatically.
Right.
Assuming you retire at 65, you would get B at the same time, or if you needed coverage. If you didn't need coverage and you continued to work for an employer and that employer's plan is considered primary, there's a guideline called TEFRA. For companies that are more than 20 employees, the primary insurance would be the group insurance. You could waive your Part B. And you retire at a later date, at example 69, then you'd need to contact Social Security and get enrolled in Part B.
But they can penalize you.
Well, if you have coverage through your employer, that would not be a penalty.
Right, but you have to go through a process. It's not a simple go to Medicare and say, hey,
correct.
I had coverage. You still have to get proof.
You have to get proof. They may ask you for confirmation that you had prior coverage or through your employer's plan, and they may need even something from your employer. But at the same point, at the end of the day, they would not be subject to a penalty.
Right.
Now, if that person is 65 and they just decided to waive Part B and say, look, I just don't need health insurance. I'm not going to pay that $105 a month. If they wanted to get B at a later date, they're going to see a penalty.
And that's true with Part D also, which we're going to talk about in a second or two.
Okay.
But so let's say you retired, you're 65, you got A and B, you now got a company that's providing your Medicare supplemental, which includes prescriptions. There's nothing else you have to do.
You don't need to do anything. That's
you don't
correct.
Need to do anything. But not all companies' Medicare supplemental plans, big companies, are good plans. Matter of fact, I was looking at CareFirst. Supplemental plan for their retirees. It's not a very good plan.
And I would say in general, the marketplace is getting away from the Medicare supplements for their retirees.
From the companies.
From the company's perspective.
Even big companies.
Even big companies.
The only one that I'm seeing not get away from that are government employees.
Federal and state. You got
federal
it.
Federal and state.
Right?
No. That's right. So, okay, so let's say you want to get you still need a supplemental. Your company doesn't offer one. You work for a company that doesn't offer retiree medical. What do you do?
So, basically, if you kind of use this rule of thumb, within 6 months of your Part B effective date, typically you can come in and get a supplement without any medical underwriting.
Hmm.
You usually get preferred pricing. Some carriers use a tiered pricing, tier one, tier two, tier three. But that tier one or the objective for you would be to get coverage within the 6 months of the effective date. Because Medicare A and B has gaps in it. So these supplements or Medigaps are they're designed to fill the gaps of what Medicare doesn't cover. So, for example, if I have Part A and I go in the hospital, I'm going to have to pay, you know, $1,260 of a deductible. So most of these supplements are going to pick that up.
Mm-hmm.
Part B is a deductible. It's $147 currently. This is the doctor section, 80%. The supplements are designed to pick that up or pick up all of it or part of it, leave you with copays, depending on which one you choose.
Right. So let's just go with that. The Medicare Part A is for hospitals. Medicare Part B is for doctors, basically. Medicare Part D is for drugs, prescriptions, and so forth, right?
Correct.
So Medigap is an insurance that will now fill the gap. Just like if you had a Medicare supplemental as a retiree of a company or the state or the federal government, you go out and you buy a Medigap policy, and the government actually did a really good thing. I think this is one of the few things governments really got right. With Medigap, they give you an alphabet soup of A, B, C, D, E, F Medigap policies. They're all the same with every company. Whether you go to CareFirst or Aetna or United Healthcare or whoever, it's the same Plan F. It's the same Plan B. It's the rules are exactly the same. All the individual has to do is
pick one,
right, and just determine which is the cheapest, who's going to give me the best customer service, and who's going to still be in business 5, 10, 15
right.
years from now. That's pretty much it, right?
Yep, that's it. So, you know, there's this variety. You can kind of look at the coverages from high to low, depending on where your comfort level is. If you're probably a higher-end user, you want the best plan you can get.
Which is plan?
Plan F.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody goes with Plan F.
But there's also, and this comes into play a lot, too, there's also a Plan F with a deductible.
High deductible.
High deductible. And so, let's say you typically don't spend a lot of money per year. You might say, hey, I'm willing to go with a deductible after Medicare, and I'd be more than saving those dollars.
Mm. Okay, so I want to talk about that more, but I'm looking up, Anita. It's time's flying too
that's
fast
fine.
Tonight.
It's a lot of fun.
Anyway, we'll take that last pause, and then we'll come back and finish up talking about this. But what I want to talk about is, what if I want to switch my Medicare or Medigap plan after I've already signed up 5 years later? Anyway, take it away, traffic. We're going to be right back.
Try to see it my way. Do I have to keep on talking till I can go on? While you see it your way, run a risk of knowing that our love may soon be gone. We can work it out. We can work it out.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
There you go. Now, that's
right.
A good song. Way to go, Anita. 1 out of 3. Yeah, that's a pretty good batting record for a baseball player. Anyway, we're here with Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here with Ron Drager, and we're talking about medical insurance, Medicare, Medigap, Medicare Part D. We're going to get to Medicare Part D real quick.
Yeah.
But Medigap. So let's say I go with CareFirst, and I want to switch to Humana or Aetna. Or let's say I went with the Medigap Plan F, and I want to switch to Medigap High Deductible, or the other way around. I did High Deductible. I want to go to Plan F. And it's now 5, 10 years down the road. Can you switch easily?
You can switch, but you have to go through underwriting. So typically someone's going to switch January 1.
How restrictive can their underwriting be?
I find the underwriting not that – I find it very lax in general. But the big deal is – so let's use an example. I'll use – since we're talking about CareFirst, they have Tier 1, Tier 2, Tier 3. So their rates for Tier 1 is the best. So if you enroll in Part – you get a supplement within 6 months of the B effective date, you get the best rate. So let's say five years.
They can't, there's no, you could be dying,
and
they have to give you.
They have to take you. It doesn't matter.
No pre-existing conditions, you get the best rate.
So let's say now 5 years later, you say, look, I really want a better plan or a worse plan or vice versa, and you choose to switch plans. Now you're going to lose that Tier 1 pricing, and you're going to go to Tier 2 or 3, depending on your medical conditions.
Unless you're still in very good health. Can you still get Tier 1?
Tier 1 you only get within 6 months of the B effective date.
Oh, wow.
So you're either going to get 2, and then there's smoker or non-smoker rates as well within that Tier 2 and Tier 3.
But the Tier 1, there's smoker and non-smoker too,
right? But that's going to be your best rates, Tier 1.
But it's still going to be your best rate.
Correct.
But they can raise you higher if you're a smoker.
That's correct.
And they can also, it's also geographically located, right, in their premium?
There is some premiums. Like, for example, Western Maryland typically is a little less than Baltimore.
Or if you live in places like Brooklyn. No comment there, Bon Bon.
No. Yeah. New York can be a little bit more expensive.
Right,
I didn't know
if
you're talking Brooklyn, Maryland.
Yeah, right, no.
Across
that's
the
a
Inner
nice
Harbor.
Place.
New York is usually a higher insurance state. Yeah,
for just about every kind of insurance.
Right, for anything.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but Tier 2, doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to be a lot more expensive than what you're currently paying, right?
That's correct.
And who do you find to be your best Medigap companies in premium and long term?
I like CareFirst for the fact that they're usually pretty level, because you have some carriers that kind of bounce in and out of the marketplace, and then you get yourself in a situation where you're in search of another carrier in another few years. But CareFirst has always been pretty fair, and sometimes you're splitting hairs from one company to another.
I found USAA to be a very
Oxford.
good plan, and that's not require you to be a military person for the Medigap.
That's correct.
It's one of the only things they do publicly is their Medigap policy for some reason.
Right.
I don't know why, but they do. Anyway, we got Medicare Part D real quick we got to get to, right?
Right.
So in each state, you have different plans that are approved, okay? In Maryland, how many are there? Last I saw, there was like 80.
That's about right.
Okay. So a senior has to figure out which of those 80 plans is best for them. So tell us, what do you do? How do you figure this out?
Well, Medicare has done a pretty decent job of setting up a website. So you can go on Medicare.gov, and you can type in all your prescriptions, and it'll tell you which prescription plan is going to be your best bet for you for Plan D.
So you put in your prescriptions, you put in your pharmacy that you go to, it'll look at all the plans and it'll say this is going to be your most cost-effective plan.
It'll come up with about 10 or 15 plans, and you can sort by price, there's a couple ways of doing it. Of course, you have to be a little bit internet savvy to be able to do that. It's not very difficult. You just need to make sure you have your prescription information ready, and then it's going to give you plans, you know, XYZ through.
Now, I'll tell you a funny story. You know, everybody, when the exchange came on, everyone was all upset because they kept crashing. You know, you did this and it crashed and so forth. Well, I've been doing those Medicare Part D prescription searches for clients for at least 5 or 6 years, ever since it first came out. And I'd say about 30% of the time those websites would crash on me in the middle of doing the search. And I sat there and I said, why is everyone upset about this? Wouldn't they ever talk about Medicare Part B or the IRS website where I'd go on and it would crash all the time, you know?
It happens. Especially where, you know, you have to enter in 15 prescriptions and you're on your last one, right?
Well, they only spent $1 billion or two doing it, and I'm sure you could have gotten a little better web page than those, you know? Anyway, that's another story. So you still, you know, let's say you're 65. You now have to get Medicare Part D, but you decide I'm not going to do it. I don't really use any prescriptions, so why spend the money at this time?
So what happens is, now if you have no other coverage, we're not working for an employer, we don't have any other prescription, and I'm 65, what would happen is you're eligible to get it when you turn 65, or you're eligible to get it every January. So, for example, the current open enrollment is going on through roughly December 7th. But if you choose not to have Part D or the prescription plan, what happens is there's a penalty on the back end. So it's, you know, I was saying an example of like the carrot or the stick. This is the stick method. If you don't enroll, you're going to pay a penalty. It's 1% a month for every month that you did not have credible coverage for Part D or some type of coverage. So let's say that that person turned 65 in hypothetically January and they chose not to get a plan, and then they enrolled next year in January, they're going to have a 12-month gap of no coverage or a 12% penalty that would go on their current prescription plan for the rest of their life. And that's tracked through CMS or through Medicare.
So the best thing to do would be to go in and just get a dirt cheap plan for, I mean, there's some plans that are, what, $15 a month?
Like there's a plan through Humana. There's a Walmart-only plan. It's about $15. So it's more for defense. So at a later date, you don't have to pay that penalty.
But, I mean, it's easy enough that you have some kind of incident happen and you got to take a few pills for a week or two. It'll probably pay for itself.
Sure, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's a minimal out. Because you think about that 12%, or let's say you go 2 years or three years, now we're up to 36% after 3 years. So if your premiums are hypothetically $30, you're going to pay an additional 36% on top of that. So, again, I would advise people to get the least expensive plan, like you're saying, get it, maybe Humana or another plan that would qualify you so you can avoid that
penalty. Just get into the system. Get into the Part D
rotation. But let's say 4 years down the road, your world changes, and now you're on a bunch of prescriptions. The nice thing is with Plan D is you have that annual open enrollment. You could upgrade that plan without a penalty for a January 1 effective date.
So we're almost out of time. If you got if somebody out there listening needs personal medical insurance, or there's a business owner out there and he wants a group medical person that knows his stuff, how does he get in touch with you, Ron?
The easiest thing to do, I would say, call my cell. That's usually, we live in a cell world, don't we?
Yes, we do.
They can reach me at 443-250-8605. They can call me in the
office.
Now,
wait a minute. You got to learn the number one rule of radio.
What
when you give
that?
A phone number out, you say it slow and you say it twice. Go ahead.
So it's 443-250-8605. They can reach me in the office. Again, part of Silverstein Insurance Group. We're in Lutherville and Barnes Draker Insurance in Carroll County.
So they can just look up those websites?
Mm-hmm.
SIG, what's it?
It's Silverstein Insurance Group. That phone number is 410-823-8066. I'm extension 103.
You didn't learn the rule
four,
yet.
No. 410-823-8066, extension 103.
Silverstein Insurance Group.
Yeah.
And
I'm the only Ron there. It's very simple.
And Barnes Drager is the other company. You're both of those.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're
going to
say something, Bon Bon?
No, it's just so complicated. And, you know, I mean, we're talking about people being on the Internet. And somebody's, you know, my mom was in a retirement community, didn't even have computers, you know, a lot of the folks there. You know, so they really needed somebody to do these things for them.
And today's world for enrollment, it's really becoming online, regardless of your age, whether you're a Medicare supplement or under 65, it's an online application.
Yeah. And, you know, really the cool thing, Ron, is that working with you, doing it yourself, it's all the same. You know, you're not paying any less doing it yourself.
Yeah.
There's no extra having an agent to help them with that. And so it's Ron Drager. It's Barnes Drager is the one company, or Silverstein Insurance Group if you want to get in touch with Ron Drager. And we're out of time. Money, riches, and wealth.
Time flies.
It flew tonight. Good topic, good guest. Anyway, this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.